For our scripture this morning, I'll be reading from Mark 16, verses 9 through 20. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it.
Good morning, everyone. Wow, we are sparse, aren't we? I'm glad you're here. I'm really glad you're here because I know a lot of people are traveling, so I'm glad you're here. And maybe it's because people knew Alan was gone that they wanted to be gone. You just didn't get the memo. Okay. We're continuing with a series we've called Focusing the Vision. The last number of weeks, last 5 weeks now, we've looked at... 5 weeks. We've looked at the last few... We've looked at the logo, and it shouldn't be new to you now. This should be something that you've seen around. It's in the newspaper now. It's been kind of getting spread out a little bit. But this is our logo, and it represents our vision. The vision being his story, his grace, and our journey. The vision is... It's here to remind us of who we are, what we're about, and because we are a people of his story, it defines who we are. Similarly, his grace, being a people of his grace, it gives us a sense of what and why. Again, these are things that you've heard before. I've literally copied the notes from Alan's sermon last week, so if you were here last week... All of this you should have heard already. But this week we're looking at the third aspect of our vision mission, being on being a people on a journey. Specifically, we're going to look at how we share our journey. We all have different paths. We all have different journeys. We've all started in certain places that others haven't, and we're all in different places now because of the path we have taken. I'm going to take a bit of a transition here, super out there. The Wizard of Oz. Okay, some of you may not like this because it's got witchcraft and all the rest of that, but bear with me on this one for a second. The Wizard of Oz was released August 25, 1939, 80 years ago this summer. 80 years ago. How many of you watched it in the movie theater when it first came out? A few of you. Okay, that's fantastic. So this is amazing. 80 years The Wizard of Oz has been showing, and it's still a popular favorite, right? 2003, Wicked hit the stage show. Hit the West End, as I would... What is it over here? Broadway, thank you. cultural difference. but it was 2003 that Wicked hit Broadway, and it instantly had such a great response. But it was a backstory of The Wizard of Oz. It was a prequel, if you wish. It tells the story of Elphaba, the Wicked Witch of the West. And if you're interested, Universal is doing the movie of Wicked, released in 2021. Giving you the heads up for that one. But in the same way that we started with Mark chapter 16, the end of the book of Mark, where we are now is not where we were. We have a prequel to our life right now. In the same way that the Wizard of Oz had a prequel, life doesn't give us our prequel after, though, does it? We live life one step at a time, and we don't always know the backstory of other people, but we know there is a backstory. We know our backstory. We know where we have come from. We know the journey that we have lived over the last, name your age, years. But we don't always know the backstory to others. This church has a backstory. In fact, in a month, 4 weeks, something like that, we will be celebrating the 75th anniversary of this building. And even this building has changed. Where we're worshiping right now was not the church building. If I understand my history correct, the office, where the office is, that was the original site of the church building. And we've just extended and grown and built and added, and we are not where we first began. Our numbers are not where we first began. And over the years, we've had a lot of growth. We've shrunk a little bit. We've grown some more. And it's had this wave. We are not where we used to be. And I want you to keep that in the back of your mind as we go forward from here. So let's take a look at the story, today's story, where Jesus enters a woman's life and a woman's journey in John chapter 4. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to go buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I am a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink? For Jews do not associate with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." "Sir," the woman said, "you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob?" I always picture Jesus chuckling inside at this point. "Are you greater than our father, Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did also his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I won't get thirsty and have to keep coming here to draw water." He told her, "Go call your husband and come back." "I have no husband," she replied. Jesus said to her, "You are right. When you say you have no husband, the fact is you have had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. What you have just said is quite true." Will you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for the journey that you've put us on. We are thankful for the lives that we get to touch and be touched by. We thank you, Father, for the hard journey that we may have, because it draws us stronger and just gives us a better focus to keep on trying. We thank you for the good times, because we get to celebrate and we get to celebrate with others during their good times. Father, we want to thank you for the peace that you give us, knowing that the journey that we're on, we're not alone, that you are walking by our side, holding our hand, ready to catch us should we fall. God, we are thankful that you have intercepted our story and our journey. Father, as we continue this time in worship, as we continue this lesson, Father, I just ask that you help us know how to share our story, whatever that story may be. Share our journey. Father, we ask for confidence as we share our journeys. Confidence knowing that the Spirit is going to speak through us, because you have promised that. Father, we know that Jesus is with us and that he is always watching out for us. And it is in his name we pray. Amen. In order for us to share our story, we need to know our story. And I keep referring to story because our story, or our journey, tells a story. I hope you understand that phrase. For us to share our journey, we need to know what our story has been, what has brought us to where we are. I've never really been a huge follower of Lord of the Rings. Sorry for those if I've just insulted some of you. I understand it's a great book. I've seen the movies once. Didn't do it for me, okay? It just didn't do it for me. But there is something that I really did appreciate at the end of the third book, Return of the King. Frodo returns home, and he gets to write his story. He gets to tell his adventure, facing all sorts of evil, trials, the relationship stresses that he has. He returns home, and no one from the Shire home, except for those who traveled with him, understand all that has happened to him. No one understands what has happened to him. And in the same way that people may not fully understand what has happened to you for the reason that you're in the place that you're in right now. Excuse me. Our journeys, where we meet people, our journeys are just here. People don't know that prequel. People don't know your backstory. And no matter how much you share it, people may still miss what you're trying to get across. Our journey, no matter how much we share, may not be fully grasped. And so Frodo returns from his journey, and returns to normal, whatever normal is. And he shares that story. And perhaps years later, kids will read that story going, "Oh, that was fun," and not realize it had actually happened. You may tell parts of your journey to your children, grandchildren, neighbors, friends, "This is what happened to me." And some people may see it as a story. Some people may see it as, "Oh, that was entertaining or interesting," or, "Oh, I learned something from so-and-so. It was cool." But it may never have that same power that it did on you. And so when we know we have a story, when we know we have a journey to share, what's holding us back? Perhaps we don't think our journey is valuable enough to share. I'm waiting for that big wowzer moment. Then I can share how I got baptized because my life was changed because of this huge event. Or maybe you're already baptized and you've already realized, well, that wowzer moment's not going to happen, but I don't have anything exciting to tell anyone. Everything that happens to you, thank you. Appreciate that. Everything that happens to you is worth sharing. Because as long as you've learned something from it, somebody else can learn too. I want to read a few verses from Psalm 107. Starting in verse 1. It won't be on the screen. Just listen. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story. Let those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from the east and west, from the north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. There they were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. And he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, in utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains, because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled, and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing and wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and cuts through bars of iron. Perhaps you can relate to one of these. Perhaps you've sat in a wasteland. Maybe not a physical wasteland, but an emotional one, or a spiritual one. Perhaps you've been lost in the dark, utter darkness, cannot see any hope for anything. You're struggling to find your way back to the light. Each of these, no matter how dark your story may be, or how normal your story may be, your journey, it has led you on this journey to where you are now. I want to read one more passage, this time from John chapter 11, and it will be up here. Lord, Martha said to Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she replied. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. What Martha does here is she is sharing her journey. She has gone from this girl into having a relationship with Christ, and she is able to share. She's sharing it right there. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world. That is her testimony of her journey. That should speak volumes to all of us. Because when we're born, we don't know who Christ is. When we're born, we just know me, here, now, feed. Right? I'm not feeding. I'll cry. Oh, I'm dirty. I'll cry. I've recently had the experience. I'm sharing my journey with you. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God. And if you believe that, what's stopping you from sharing your journey? The key to sharing our story is to understand that we have something valuable to say. None of us should be where we were 5, 10, 50 years ago. None of us should be in the same place spiritually as we were. None of us should be happy about where we are right now. We should all be striving to continue in that journey, drawing closer to God, drawing closer to one another, drawing people with us in that journey. We should strive for growing. Growing in such a deep relationship with God. We should be striving so our journey will cross paths with as many people as possible. We need to become journey sharers. And that means we need to realize our past. In the same way that we need to be growing and be more aware of our past, as a church, corporately, we need to be aware of our past. We need to understand where we've been, what we've traveled through over the last 75 years. But as individuals as well, how is my past going to affect how I tell my story? A couple semesters ago, the youth group invited members of the church to share their testimony, their story. Some of you have had some hardships with health, with relationships, all sorts. And you got to share that story. And there's a great thing about that is the students understood that should they go through any of these things, they're not the first. They have a family here that they can go to. Because, oh, I know so-and-so went through this. I'm not in this alone. But it was also an opportunity for those of you who shared your story to be heard. And we like to be heard. We like to be known. We like to know that what we've gone through has been worth it. And so we need to know our past, the things we've learned, the things that have hurt us, the things that we've celebrated. But we also share our present, living in the moment. So often we're looking for that life-changing thing before we make a move. As I've already said, you may not have that wowzer moment or that, aha, now I'm going to change my life. You may never have that. Live in the now. And I mean that in the sense of don't be living in the past. Don't be living off your fear or the things that have scarred you. Live in the now. Learn from the past. But live in the now. Share the now. Be a part of today. Living life in the now, it's the now that we make choices. We can't change the choices from our past, but we can make the smart choices now. So we share our story now. And we share our future. Now, perhaps that sounds a little strange. How do I share my future? It's not even happened. The future, in fact, it's not been lived in. And therefore, if you ask me, the future is unblemished. It is pure, because only God has been there and is and always will be in the future. It is pure. I don't know if you've ever thought about time like that before, but that's kind of a cool thing. And so sharing our future should be the easiest thing. Because we don't get to talk about our mistakes, because we haven't made them yet. We don't get to talk about the selfishness of now, because we haven't been there yet. But it's easy, because we get to talk about God. We get to talk about our goal. We get to talk about where we want to be. We get to talk about the fellowship in heaven, as we sing carols with the angels and just how amazing that journey will take us there. Our past tells us how we got to where we are. Our present tells us that we're here for a reason. And our future tells us that we have somewhere to be striving for. That is our journey. Philippians 3, starting in verse 12, says, "Not that I have already obtained this, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Brothers and sisters, church family, there are so many future words here. Not that I've already arrived at my goal. The goal is future. But I press on. I'm striving. I'm going. Straining toward what is ahead. I press on, he repeats. We are on a journey, whether you like it or not. We are coming to the end of this journey, the end of the sermon, as you celebrate. Philippians 3 is an active text. Paul wasn't done while he wrote this, and neither are you or I. When life gets tough, press on. Live your life. Live your journey. Each day. Live your journey each day that God has given you. Share that journey at every chance you get. The songs that we've sung and the songs that we're going to sing have talked about our journey. The next song, I believe, is "I Am a Sheep." And sheep need someone to follow. They need a guide. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Let us look to the one true shepherd who will guide us to a better pasture, to a place that we get to call eternally home. Amen. Thank you.
I am a sheep and the Lord is my shepherd.